from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, award-winning actor Glenn Close. Close has had a prolific career in Hollywood and on Broadway since she first earned recognition in the 80s for films like The Big Chill and Fatal Attraction. She'll join us to talk about her career and her latest role working to destigmatize mental illness. Then at 10:30, Uber and Lyft drivers in San Francisco and eight other cities plan a work stoppage tomorrow to protest wages and working conditions. The strike comes before Uber's IPO on Friday, which is expected to earn the company about $9 billion. We'll talk about the strike, the IPO, and the state of the ride-hailing industry, and that's next after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Glenn Close has been a trend-setting force in film since her breakthrough in the 80s with her roles in The Big Chill and Fatal Attraction. And recently, she earned an Academy Award nomination, her seventh, for Best Actress in 2018's The Wife. Less well-known, however, is her work for Bring Change to Mind, a nonprofit that promotes open dialogue about mental health and the destigmatization of mental illness. Glenn Close joins us in studio now to discuss her career and how to foster conversations about mental health. And welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. And as I was saying to Glenn Close before we went on the air, I've learned an immense amount about her that I didn't know, including seeing Sir Pippin of Beanfield on Instagram. And he was actually, this is your dog, who was actually watching you as Cruella de Vil.
Yeah. Well, actually, there's a picture on Instagram of him watching me from the backstage when I was doing Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard.
Were you cast in that? I learned that you were a singer, too. Did it have anything to do with your cast as in Sunset Boulevard?
My singing?
Yeah, I mean, I was just
thinking, you have to sing like a trooper in Sunset.
Well, it was Andrew Lloyd Webber who
he doesn't write for sissies.
Yeah, but your singing background and your background fascinated me. I discovered through reading about you that your dad was a surgeon, but you were also living in the Congo for many years. Your parents were in a cult. I mean, it's quite an extraordinary. You need to write an autobiography.
Maybe one of these days, yes.
All right, I have to say this at the risk of sounding terribly editorial, but you got robbed. And I'm sure you've heard that over and over again. I'm sure you're gracious about this. But the extraordinary performance that you put in The Wife deserved an Oscar. It's that simple, in my thinking.
Well, thank you.
You had to play with – how many men actually turned down that role that Jonathan Pryce took?
All the Americans that we offered it to, it was very hard to find a man to, a actor of stature to be in a movie called The Wife. Well, I think Jonathan is one of the great actors on stage and film, and I think he just realized what a challenge that role would be, and I think he did it a magnificent job.
Yeah, he was exceptional as well, and it's based on Meg Wolitzer's novel, and it's really a novel also well worth reading. You got an award, though, from the Golden Globes for that performance, and congratulations on that. And
you gave
a speech which really hit a lot of people, rocked a lot of people.
Yeah, it was kind of astounding to me. First of all, I really didn't think I was going to win, and I hadn't prepared anything. And when I heard my name, it took me a couple of seconds to stand up. And so that speech was actually totally spontaneous, and what came to mind was my mother. And I talked about her and how I'd watched her sublimate herself to my father our whole life, and her saying to me in her late 80s that she felt like she hadn't accomplished anything, and it broke my heart because she was a very, very creative, wonderful, down-to-earth woman. And I think she had a lot in her that she never was able to explore. And I learned from that whole period of doing the movie that we need, we are mothers and we're wives, but we need personal fulfillment, which is different from that.
Well, the spontaneity of your speech was probably what gave it some of its extraordinary dramatic force, and it really did have an amazing effect on people. And it also, when you're talking about sublimating, you had a couple of grandmothers, too, who were, one actually wanted to be an actor, I believe, right?
Yes, she did. I found that out after she had died. One of her old friends from childhood said that the only thing she'd ever wanted to be was an actress. And she never would have been allowed to do that.
And the other one had a beautiful singing voice?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
So you know about sublimation where women are concerned. And yet, your own career really didn't begin to take off until you were, I mean, you had a whole stage career before. People know you, like I said, from The Big Chill, and they know you from Fatal Attraction, of course. But I just remember that scene on the washing machine. But you also have, you really have a distinguished career on the stage.
Yes, I started on the stage. I did stage for 6 years before I got my first movie, which was The World According to Garp. And it was George Roy Hill was in the audience at Barnum. I was in the original company of Barnum, playing Charity Barnum. And he saw something in that performance that he then thought would translate well as Jenny Fields. And so that was my first film.
You were playing a feminist. Jenny Fields, of course, was a feminist.
Yes, she was.
Archetypal early feminist. Also had a career in television and, again, a pretty distinguished career.
Yes, that the second thing I was offered after Garp was a movie called Something About Amelia, which was actually about incest. And I could hardly say the word myself. They offered me a undeniable script. I thought it was beautifully written. I did it all those years ago with Ted Danson. And I think it was the first movie for television that had a hotline at the end of it. And it actually made quite an impact. But when my agent said at the time, if you do television, you're going to ruin your movie career. And I said then, and I still say now, the English do it. Why can't we?
Talking again with Glenn Close, actor, co-founder of Bring Change to Mind. They're a national nonprofit organization dedicated to encouraging dialogue about mental health. And that's become a major, major, cause of yours. And a cause that you're not only passionate about and very dedicated to, but you come to through your family.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Well, we could talk about the fact that we never talked about it. My nephew was, he had a psychotic break when he was 17, and he ended up in a psychiatric hospital. We didn't really know anything about it, even though my father was a doctor. Psychiatry was kind of frowned upon, actually. And then my sister came to me, I think while her son was still in the hospital, and said, I need your help. I can't stop thinking about killing myself. And it was a shock. I had no clue. And that was the beginning of Bring Change to Mind.
Your sister was about 50, your sister Jessie, and
yeah,
she was hearing
was,
voices.
Yes,
that was
saying,
part of it, yeah.
"Kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself," and then you know she had suicidal ideation. She was had all these plans of how to do it, and she got help. We were very lucky to be able to provide help for our family members, but that was the beginning of our finding a vocabulary for mental health. And they came to me and said, the stigma is just as bad as the disease. Can you help in some way? And we started Bring Change to Mind. The core idea is start the conversation. Talk about it openly. It, you know, all of us are dealing with some form of mental health issue. And it's just part of being a human with a very complicated brain. And there's no reason why we shouldn't talk about it as openly now as we do about cancer or diabetes or any other chronic
illness. It's an illness, and it has to be seen as an illness.
Yes.
Under that umbrella. And,
yes.
And yet the stigma remains, and the stigma is profound, and people just can't or won't talk about it. It's too verboten for many people to talk about. So what do you suggest people do, really, particularly when they see signs or when they're concerned, just to break the ice, so to speak?
Well, if you see signs, you have to say something about it.
Speak up.
Ask if somebody's okay. If they say no, keep asking them. If somebody's behavior, starts changing consistently, don't let them go until you find out what's wrong.
We're talking to Glenn Close, and we're talking about not only promoting conversations about mental health, we're talking about her illustrious career. She's now actually with this national nonprofit organization dedicated to encouraging dialogue about mental health, and she'll be at the Commonwealth Club at Herbst Theater in San Francisco tonight at 7 p.m. In the meantime, she said to me before we went on the air, oh, I always like getting phone calls and hearing from listeners, so I'm going to invite those of you who are listening to join us right now. You may want to talk with her about her career. You may also want to talk about the stigma of mental illness. I know there are many of you who have had stories. We've done a number of programs on this, and you may want to address it, and certainly like to hear from you. Our toll-free number is available right now. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your involvement. Again, the number to call, 866-733-6786, or join us by email, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website and post any questions or comments there at kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. I know you've talked about the character Alex Forrest that you played in Fatal Attraction on a number of occasions, and felt kind of badly about the way she was portrayed, in the sense of, because there was a backstory and you kind of knew the backstory, she was portrayed as being this monster, really, and it was probably a case of mental illness.
I think it was. I think it was some sort of mental disorder. But it's easy to make somebody with a mental disorder a villain. Stories are always looking for antagonists. And so that's an easy one. But what's not, which is more difficult, is to tell the reasons why. What's creating that behavior and helping people understand. And I think if I keep saying, and it's been noted, that if you told Alex Farr's story from her point of view, she would become a tragic figure. So maybe someday we'll do that.
Well, you also have said, in talking about working with Robin Williams on GARP, who, of course, is a beloved, there's even a tunnel named after him here going out to Marin County, and that, like many artists, he was on the edge. And certainly I knew him, and I knew that to be true. He was often very quiet and
yes.
subdued
yes.
Man when I was around him. But the reality is that this is something that many artists have to deal with. You're not a method actor, but you've had to deal with going to places that, remember, strangely, it comes to mind here, but I remember one of the first interviews I did of a celebrity actor was Anne Margaret, and she said that playing Blanche DuBois in Streetcar Named Desire, almost she felt, you know, she was going too far there for quite a few moments, and you had to do that certainly in Fatal Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering about, you know, when someone crosses over the line, sometimes it's very difficult to even know that they've crossed over the line. Some thoughts
yes.
on that?
Yes. I mean, I've always thought that acting is a form of madness. And you can come back from it. That's the difference, is that you can come back from it. But I think it's a known fact that some of the most creative people who've ever lived, and some of the most creative people now, are dealing with some sort of mental, you know, health issues. I think it's just the nature of the beast. It makes for. I think where some of the great works of art have come from. I've always felt that anything that changes people, as far as art is concerned, has some sort of outrage underneath it, even if it's the outrage of not knowing what's wrong with your mind. And I think that's an engine, and it's a very important quality, and it's something that we should embrace, not vilify.
In your foundation and in the foundation work, the focus is on children and adolescents, isn't it?
Well, it has become that, and it's incredibly exciting. And it actually all started here in the Bay Area. We now have Bring Change to Mind clubs, and there will be 270 by the end of this fall. And it's a space. We have a roadmap for those who want to join the club. And it's a safe place. It's a stigma-free zone for kids to talk about what they're dealing with. And it's caught on like wildfire. And I'm very, very thrilled about it. It's in 16 states, and it will keep going.
And we have a link up to the organization's website on our website. Find out about these 250 clubs that Glenn Close is talking about. A listener writes, the lack of strong extended family bonds with children in the U.S. plays a major role in challenging mental health. In most other countries, strong bonds between parents, grandparents, and extended family contributes a great deal to bettering mental health. You had a pretty strong family, though, didn't you?
No, not really.
No?
No. I mean, we do. I mean, it's kind of, now I live for my family. But we didn't, and I want to take a little bit of exception to that statement. I think there's a lot of stigma that's within families who don't want the neighbors to know, you know, and, that can be devastating and tragic. So even in cultures that have a strong family, dynamic, there can be stigma.
Often are. I'm going to go to our callers. Before I do, though, I have to remind listeners who saw the wife and who may not know this, that speaking about family, your daughter played the younger version of you in that film.
She did.
Yeah, and she's an up-and-coming actor?
She is, yes.
How does that feel to you? I mean, I know so many actors who discourage their
children. Oh, I'm thrilled. I mean, I've seen her. I've always thought that's what she would do. And as a mother, all you want for your child is to find fulfillment in their work. And I think she was meant to be an actress, and she's doing a Ryan Murphy miniseries right now, Ratchet, with Sarah Paulson and Judy Davis. And so hopefully her wings are starting to sprout, and she'll be off.
And we'll sprout some callers here. We'll begin with you. Emerald, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning to all. Good morning, Glenn Close. Wow, to talk to you.
Good morning.
I love movies, so I love when I can talk to somebody. So anyway, first of all, I wanted to say I appreciate your focusing on mental health issues and it not being an issue, but being something that should be talked about. I was telling the person too earlier that growing up, my mother's friend had schizophrenia, and nobody talked about it. Nobody knew about it. Until she had a break, and my mother essentially had to break into her house and rescue our friend. Mm. And when I moved to Hawaii, a friend of mine, she had the suicidal ideation as well. It was associated with trauma in her youth. But it wasn't until I dug in, and as I told the person in layman's terms, people would say, oh, you're getting in her business. But if somebody doesn't feel that somebody is intensely interested in them and cares how they're feeling in their mind, how they're feeling in their body, how are you feeling today? I mean, everybody likes that, but how much more so somebody who's battling an issue internally that we can't see is very important to me, and I really appreciate you focusing on that.
Well said, Emerald. And you wanted to also say something about movies or Glenn Close?
Yes. Yes. So I am sort of a movie geek. And I see movies and I say, that person looks familiar. Who is that person? So my favorite movie is Hook. Yeah, you know where I'm going. and so I've always found it so hilarious. And every time your role comes up as the man who gets put in the boo box, I stare extra hard because the only thing I can see out of you are those beautiful eyes. But I always love going, look, honey, to my husband. It's Glenn Close. And he goes, huh? And it's already over by that time. But I just wanted to say, I've seen Single White Female as well. And I was like, wow, what a change. You are, I don't know what they say, you are across the board with acting. I haven't seen The Wife yet, but I look forward to it.
Yeah, it's really a stunning performance. I got to say something about Hook. I saw it when my kid was young, and I was bothered by you were terrific in it, but the stabbing at the end I thought was totally unnecessary. I mean, the kid stabbing the other kid?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was at the end.
I would think it
that.
Would not be good.
It really bothered me.
Yeah.
But you've had 7 nominations for an Oscar, and I'm looking at a comment here from a listener named Lena says, give her all the Oscars. I mean, there are many who feel that you were certainly deserving with all 7 of them. I mean, it's got to come around sometime, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of nice to hold the record for the most nominated and never won. It's kind of good to be the
underdog.
You beat
Susan Lucci?
Maybe. I don't think I'm old enough. I mean, I think I'm too old.
Let me bring another caller aboard here, and that's Michelle. Michelle, you're on the air with us. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you very much for bringing up this topic. I have a son who suffered from depression from middle school through high school. And he was vilified as a truant. Mm-hmm. We had to go to court because of it. He ended up eventually developing bipolar disease, and we had to take him out of the school district. And it was really devastating for him and for our family. So thank you for making this open.
I'm so sorry.
How is he doing now?
Yeah. Just what I was
He's doing better. He's at a junior college, and he's doing really well with an excellent support system. And but the school district still just aren't dialed in to handle this. They're still treating them as truants.
Yes. Well, you've obviously been an incredible parent through the whole thing. So that probably is why your son is where he is. So, you know, really, I have deep respect for what you've done. And it's good to hear that he's doing well. You can have a viable life. You can have a very productive life. People just have to know.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Michelle, and good luck to you. Here's a listener who tweets, thank you for your important work on young people and mental health. San Francisco State has launched a pilot initiative using the arts as a vehicle to open dialogue, which is good to hear, and put a plug in for Greenlight, too, which didn't make it the other day when we were talking with some young journalists. It's a free way of treating mental health that's located in Marin County. And let me take another caller. Let me go next to a San Francisco caller. That's Minka. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. One thing I wanted to share, my father suffered from schizophrenia for the most part of his life. He was able to take medications that allowed him to live an independent life. But the result of those medications was that part of his creative and sensitive personality was dampened. And it felt really, I was really saddened by that, because I felt that that part of my father was lost because of the medication, that we had no other options. I wonder if you have any thoughts about how we can get better drugs that don't impact lives as the drugs that my father had to take.
Yes, I think that's one of the huge challenges. There are two sides to it. Number one, we have to have funding for research. There's all kinds of incredible research going on and all kinds of possibilities for better meds, but we can't do it unless we have funding for the scientists that are working on it. And then second, we have to have funding for local places where people can go to get help. There's the Excellence in Mental Health Care Act that was passed in 2015. With 8 states now, there are 13 states, and that idea is to have federal funding for communities, places where people can get help for behavior health and addiction. And I think we need that in this country, and we just need to let our voices be heard about it.
Well, here's a voice that wants to be heard from a listener named Neil, who said, our son took his own life 3 months ago at 30 years of age. He had schizophrenia and had to drop out of college because of psychosis. He cared so much about others' suffering. He ended his life because he had so much pain living in our stigmatizing society. I've talked openly for years now about mental illness, and that's what we need to do. And I think, clearly Bring Change to Mind is doing a lot of that, and I certainly salute you for the work you've done leading that. And also, again, for your work in film. And I saw you actually in Tom Stoppard's most autobiographical play, The Real Thing.
Oh.
Won a Tony for that. I mean, you've won a lot of awards. Oscar will come. I'll make that prediction. Have your agent get you the right roles. So good to have you with us. Thank you. Another segment of Forum up ahead. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about the Uber-Lyft strike. I'm Michael Krasny.